Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sing it. Come on, Jor.
Sing the chorus. Play, baby. I'm dancing. Dancing in my bedroom here. Woo! You can't be still during this song.
It's a good tune. 21st of September, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
So
hope
good.
Your Monday is going well. Paul here with Jordana, DJ producing, and we're all trying to jam in stuff here before the flakes fly, which probably won't be until late October, November. We have a few weeks left. Don't panic. But I, for one, am going to be happy to see snow and ice, Jor.
Really?
Yeah. Because I've spent most of the summer landscaping, gardening, and our yards have probably never looked better than they look right now, many of us.
Sure.
It's a nice distraction,
sure.
Right? Puttering sure. around in the yard, but I think I've hauled like 200 bags of mulch, and mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm done. I'm ready for winter. Yeah, bring it.
I have a question. I have a meteorological question, I believe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I said to my daughter this morning, I said, yeah, first day of fall. She goes, no, Mom, that's tomorrow. I said, oh. And I could very well be wrong. I always thought September 21st was the first day of autumn. What am I? Have I been misled my whole life?
I think it's the wine.
I should drink more during the show.
Well, it all makes sense after the third glass of wine, which we're not advocating, by the way. But no, it can be anywhere from the 20th to the 22nd. And it changes many years. Most years it's the 21st, but it can change based on wobbles in the Earth's orbit around the sun, around the Earth's axis. So, yeah, it does vary from year to year.
So is it tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
God, she's so smart. I'll tell her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm wrong. She was right. Good to know. Not that it makes a big difference or anything, but I did take a walk today. It was like 75 degrees outside. I mean, spectacular. I'm glad you're advocating for the winter, but it was pretty fab this morning.
I want to get my mailbox in before the ground freezes up.
I'm sorry. The mailbox that you bought 2 years ago for your wife's birthday as a birthday gift for
that
her.
That one.
Yes. I'm so glad we're revisiting this.
Because right now it's really sad. I got it looks like a little Fisher Price mailbox, like baby's first mailbox in the front yard. And you pull up to the house and it's just like, what the heck? Did they run out of mailboxes? We got this one. So
yeah, Paul has a fancy-ass house.
Well, here's the deal. I married an architect, and she wants the post to match the house. So it's a whole big production, and we spent the weekend sanding and filling in the nail pops. And so we're trying to get it ready to get it in the ground. And that is my mission before mid-October, to try to get that damn mailbox in the ground.
Let's just back that thing up for just a moment. So the post took 2 years to manufacture?
No, it's just we had other priorities. It just wasn't a priority. apparently.
And putting the post in the ground, there needs to be an act of Congress, because I'm pretty sure David has done this a few times, and there was like a piece of wood and maybe like a mallet involved, and it was maybe, you know, 4 minutes of work.
Well, a piece of wood and a mallet. Clearly, you have not done any mailbox installation.
A mallet?
But how about just a post hole digger and a little bit of concrete and a bucket from Home Depot, and it could be done in, you know, 45 minutes. I'd give you an hour, Paul. You could have that done.
Yeah. And if I hit the gas line, can I call you to come out and help us recover from the explosion?
God forbid.
Paul,
God,
you call 811 and they come out within 48 hours. Done deal. Let's go.
Yeah, I know.
I thought it was like, what was it, 13, 14 years it's been that you had that mailbox? You know, it was back in the 90s you bought that mailbox, I think, right?
If there was an explosion with me putting in the mailbox, would it be a headline or would it be the kicker? Would it be, hey, before we go, you may remember this guy used to do the weather and now he's in flames. Second degree burns. Please send
you
your
condolence
cards.
Must record video. Get your Ring doorbell going, because I need to witness this.
I'm going to take a photo of the mailbox when it's done, and you'll see what we're dealing with here. It's a thing. So I want to get it right.
I've been to Paul's house, and you're right. That mailbox you have out front, it's embarrassing.
It's sad. It's.
So getting the mailbox in the ground is your goal before the ground freezes, right?
Yes. Yes, it is, okay. Your Honor.
David, do you have a goal before the ground freezes?
Well, for me, it's not that much about the ground freezing. It's about I'm halfway through a window project where I'm like cleaning, vacuuming, getting all the paint that's coming off of my windows out, and then cleaning my windows as well. So to do that, obviously, the window is wide open for an hour or more while you do this, and I don't want to do that when it's 30 degrees. So I started the project like 2 months ago, and now I'm like, ooh, I probably got a couple of weeks here to finish that up. So that's the project that I need to finish up here in the waning moments of nice weather.
Why do we clean our windows, DJ? Because they stay clean for what? Maybe 3 days, four days?
Yeah, it's true.
Not when Blue Sky Services does them.
Oh.
Three words for you, DJ. Blue Skies Services.
Nice.
They will be done in 2 hours and you can rest easy, my friend. Not really an ad for them, but if that's your project, that can get solved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Windows start at $129.
Look at you.
Okay, we got to take a break. We got to take a break because now that we've needled Paul about his mailbox, because that is a favorite topic here on the show.
I deserve that.
We're going to talk about sex, another favorite topic on the show. Here's some emails that our sex therapist, Lori Watson, has recently received.
Paul Douglas, Jordana Green, Day Josephson. Hope your Monday is going well. It is Monday, right?
It is still.
Can somebody check? Is it still
it
Monday?
Is. Still okay. Monday, but this fall weather might be having you feeling frisky.
Or morose, depressed, and the last thing you want to think about is
no, Lori, SCS. It's nice here because it's I don't know what it's like on the East Coast, our sex therapist Lori Watson. But Lori, it's like 70 degrees here. And that's so
how lovely.
It's about
56 degrees here, and we are going to have a fire tonight. So we're going to be cozy and romantic and drink wine by the fire.
Nice.
I know. I mean, for us, 56 is a little cool.
Yeah, that is.
East Coast and the South.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Oh, by the way, Lori joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. And you are a fully licensed psychotherapist. You can find Lori's podcasts, Foreplay Radio, wherever you consume your podcasts. She talks about sex and also relational topics. And we want to give out your email if listeners have any specific questions about sex or relationships. It's info@foreplayrst.com. foreplayrst.com. Did I get that right, Lori?
Yes. The RST is Radio Sex Therapy. So it's the abbreviation. And if they would put their call letters in the subject line, that would really help me separate out, because I get a lot of email and I want to definitely answer the questions that your listeners have on your show.
Right. Sounds so this is an opportunity for our listeners, and we thank you for this opportunity, Lori, to get their questions answered. And it's email, so it can be totally anonymous. We're not going to say your name on the air, but
Absolutely. If
you have a question, if you have a question for Lori about sex or relationships, she is making this available to you, which is a great thing. So info@foreplayrst.com. And Lori, we're going to dive right in with an email. I don't know if this is from one of our listeners, but it's an email that you received. So we'd like to hear how you answered this issue.
Okay.
The emailer writes this. I am a 28-year-old female. The crux is I'm a pursuer and my boyfriend is not quite a withdrawer as he is simply someone who does not see sex the way I do. He does not need it as much. He does not need it to feel connected. I'm at a 10 where he's at a 1. We have sex about every other month. We are only a year in, and it's something we need to address now. No one seems to talk about the fact that this doesn't always develop over time. Wow, Lori, that's a hard one.
That is such a hard one. And, you know, we talk a lot on the show about pursuers and withdrawers. And somebody who's sexually pursuing is somebody who is kind of oriented towards sex. And a sexual withdrawer is somebody who it pulls away from sex. And I think in a romantic relationship, we need to be emotionally connected and we need to be sexually connected. Both things happen. And both of those cycles of withdraw and pursue kind of influence the other. So I think, you know, first of all, this young woman is very young. And she's only having sex every other month, and she's really probably in touch with her eroticism. She feels the ability to want it and has desire, which I think is so lovely and so wonderful. And she has a boyfriend who I'm going to assume is similar in age, who is withdrawing. So first thing I would say is if a young man is a sexual withdrawer, the very first thing he needs to have done is have his testosterone checked. Because this is really not a normal experience for a guy, right? I mean, men in their late 20s, early 30s have tons of testosterone if they're normal, if their body is functioning well. So I would say the first thing is both of them, and she needs to encourage him to do this, is run to a urologist, get your testosterone checked, just in case there really is something physiologically wrong.
Interesting.
And then second of all, I think, you know, if this were my patient or, right, my daughter, I would be saying, okay, what is it like for you to be with somebody who doesn't express much desire for you and then doesn't have very much sex with you? You know, you're only a year in, and I think when we're in love and we have a wonderful relationship, it's really, we sometimes overlook significant red flags. And to me, when sex has gone down to once every other month, I mean, that is genuinely sexless, and it's a huge red flag. And, you know, if you're going to be with somebody for a lifetime and or you're committing to them, you have to open your eyes, right? Mm-hmm. You have to say, wow, do I want to be driving this train? And even when I drive it, you know, the result is so poor for a lifetime. I know in engagement, I find it so difficult to get people to see the difficulties ahead, even though they somehow or another rationalize it. And in this case, I think she needs to come out and say, you know what, this relationship has to be sexual. And this is what I mean by sexual. You know, I mean, we have to have sex a couple times a week. And if you don't want to do that, I get it. And so, you know, maybe I would ask her, right, are you initiating a couple times a week? And he's saying no, or do you not initiate because you've been shut down so much? But in these early stages, it's like a sign, right? A sign of what's to come. And once people are committed or they're married, these small signs were like the tip of the iceberg. You know,
Right. Okay. We
saw them, and we need to deal with them early. And if we can't deal with them, I mean, you really need to reevaluate and say, wow, is this how I want it to be?
See, so. Lori, a lot of people, if there is no intimacy on a regular basis, they use that as an excuse. Well, you know, I'm not getting what I need at home from my wife, so maybe I'll explore other options.
You are absolutely right, Paul. I mean, not having a deep sexual connection puts the marriage or the relationship at risk, mm-hmm. right? Because there are other people who will find them attractive. And that temptation is very real. And this is why we need to resolve sexual compatibility, is because it is, not only is it at risk for others, but people, you know, the research demonstrates we're so much less happy if we're not in a devoted sexual relationship that is regular. I mean, just our happiness is impacted, let alone sure. our temptations.
Right. Lori, this question came in. We've been married 22 years, have 3 kids. My wife is not interested in sex at all. I romance her, help her with chores and childcare, compliment her daily, pursue often. I get no response. She talks about her friends that have lousy husbands and how they give them sex just to appease them, yet nothing here for a good husband and father.
Wow.
I understand, you know, I certainly sympathize with the frustration. How do you answer that?
Okay, so, I mean, this is just the gender opposition, right? It's just for a man, his struggle, and he's already married, he's got 3 kids, and sex is not happening. And I think this is the difficulty, because once you have children in the picture, you know, it becomes more dire to think about just leaving the relationship. So what can we do? First of all, again, the emotional cycle and the sexual cycle are running parallel in romantic relationships. So, you know, he says, I'm doing things. I'm really trying to be nice to her. I'm trying to help her. I'm doing all the things that I can think of to support her emotionally. And yet this doesn't happen. And she remarks, gosh, you know, my girlfriends give it over to their husbands just to keep them happy. But she's not sort of experiencing from her girlfriends a sense of women who find it erotic themselves to be sexual. And she clearly doesn't find it necessarily erotic herself to be developed. So this is the starting point. Is like he needs to come to her and say, you know, this is so important to me. This, and he needs to really be vulnerable. I can't kind of keep living without a sexual relationship. I need this. And it's more than just, I need you to give it to me, like your girlfriends give it to their husbands. I'm really interested in somebody who feels something erotically themselves. And, you know, women don't necessarily feel a lot of physiological desire until they're actually having sex. Once they get aroused, they feel more desire. So, but what I'm talking about is a relationship with a commitment to express desire to your partner. I mean, all of us, whether we feel something in our body or not, we say, you know, I married this person. I promised fidelity. Fidelity is a promise to be faithful to one person, to have a sexual relationship with that person. It's not just keep away from all the others. It's I'm promising you that we will have a partnership in body as well as in mind and soul, and to raise a family and to do practical things. And so I think he needs to say, look at, I really, really need this. Let's go to counseling. I mean, this is 22 years in. It's stuck. You guys need expert help.
Right.
Lori Watson, our certified sex therapist. Again, her email is info@foreplayrst.com. info@foreplayrst.com. We urge you to send her questions, comments, and we will answer them on the air. Lori, always a pleasure, and thank you for the knowledge.
Oh, thank you for having me, you guys. Enjoy that 70 degree weather.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's a big deal for us. Yeah, I know. All right. Thank you, Lori. Hey, when we come back, we have an Emmy Awards recap, some of the highlights and lowlights next.
And the Emmy goes to Catherine O'Hara, Schitt's Creek. And the Emmy goes to Schitt's Creek. The Emmy goes to Andrew Civadino, Daniel Levy, Schitt's Creek.
It's my favorite show.
Yeah, me too.
I cried. Yeah. I cried when it was over. And I was so thrilled to hear Daniel Levy and Eugene Levy's speeches. And I was thrilled that it was acclaimed because it was like a Tiger King for me. It was a salve, a balm during this COVID time where I could just sit down and laugh. You know, it's a show ultimately about love and family, but it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. So yes, I took that escape last night. Did you watch the Emmys last night, Paul?
I did not. I looked at some of the clips today. I was engrossed in a real football game, Sunday Night Football, that came down to the wire. So I wish I had seen it. I really do.
You know, it was totally virtual. So it was very, like Jimmy Kimmel, the host, and there were a couple of speakers, Tyler Perry, who won an achievement award. There were a couple of people in person. Jen Aniston came and he did a bit with her. But all of those who won were at their homes. And I thought they did a great job by delivering the Emmys to the homes when they were announced, surprising the winners. And I thought the technology really held up well so we could see some genuine responses and hear the speeches. Joining us now to do a little Emmys roundup, Molly Mayeron. She is our Hollywood insider, and she's joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Molly, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Were you surprised that Schitt's Creek won as much as they did? They swept the comedy awards.
You know, I knew they would have a good night, but I was actually surprised that they took home every single acting award. I wasn't sure if, you know, Eugene Levy would get the love. I knew Catherine O'Hara would, but it was really fun to see because it was so much deserved.
Yeah, I thought it was. So on the whole, what are the surprises? What were the highlights for you?
Well, as we're saying, you know, Schitt's Creek, they set a record. Previously set by Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which won 8 last year. So now Schitt's Creek won 9. Like you said, they just completely swept, won all 7 major awards for comedy. No comedy had ever done that before. So that was just so fun. I'm sure that there are people who aren't fans of the show that were sick of it and wanted to see some love for something else, but I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I would say the biggest shock for me last night was Zendaya. I was glad to see she won, but I just wasn't expecting it. So, you know, Euphoria.
We have some sound of her acceptance speech.
And the Emmy goes to Zendaya, Euphoria.
So, Molly, we don't have her talking, but why was this so historic?
Well, she was the youngest winner in the lead actress category, so that's number one. And she is only the second Black actress in the category to win. Viola Davis was the first. She won a few years ago for How to Get Away with Murder. So, you know, it's just nice to finally see the recognition deserved. But it's Euphoria is a bit of a controversial show. I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, a lot of kind of rough themes, you know, young teenage sex, drug use. So I wasn't sure if people were going to give it the love that, you know, it deserved. It is a good show. She did a great job. So I was glad to see that happen. But, you know, Jen Aniston is such a fan favorite that I thought that she would probably snag it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Molly, this is Paul. Thank you for joining us today for some perspective on this. My favorite moment, the clip that I enjoyed the most was Jennifer Aniston and Jimmy Kimmel. Apparently the envelope, he sanitized it and then it caught on fire and they could not put out the fire. Other than that, there were no glitches throughout the entire that I could see throughout the entire performance, which is pretty amazing. 100 cameras in nominees' homes to cover all 23 categories. The ratings were down, and I don't understand why. I guess the lowest viewership of any Emmy Awards, but ratings were down for Sunday Night Football, too. I don't know if just more people are streaming. What was your overall reaction? Do you think they pulled it off in a virtual format?
Yeah, I think they did. I think it was a feat of producing, really, and props to all of those people, the it, for the most part, really went off without a hitch. I mean, there wasn't, I was kind of expecting some buffering, you know, maybe dropping out of a feed of from somebody's home, but none of that happened. So it was pretty miraculous, in my opinion. I think that it's just people, like you said, aren't watching TV as much as they used to. So I just think viewership is going to continue to kind of go down for an award show like the Emmys. You know, people are watching TikTok and other things and aren't just kind of watching television shows.
Yeah.
So. Molly, right. We just have a minute left or so. So this was it the most awards given to African-Americans? Were the most they the most nominated during this Emmys? What else made this an historic event?
Yeah, both of those things. So record number of Black performers won. There were 11 in total. And record number of Black actors nominated, so making up 34%. And, you know, I thought that was great because there were so many shows that are wonderful shows like Insecure and, you know, Issa Rae is great on it. And so I was glad to see them finally getting some recognition. Regina King winning again, much deserved if you've seen Watchmen. She has actually won 4 Emmys in the past 5 years. So she is just like an amazing beast. So, yeah, it was just exciting to see all of that kind of finally take place. I think it's long overdue.
Hey, Molly, I was happy to see Succession win, too, on HBO. I think that's kind of dynasty for the 21st century, I think, an amazing show. Molly Mehron, thank you so much for joining us. Hollywood Insider, we sure appreciate your perspective.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Thanks, Molly.
She's done red carpets. She's produced red carpets. You know, she's usually out there. So I'm sure it was hard to sit home and watch this season. But alas, the jobs in Hollywood are few and far between. When we get back, Maxie's Twins Take, brought to us by Highway Federal Credit Union, next.
Once upon a time, the Vikings went to the Super Bowl. Oh, why can't Vikings fans have nice things? Mike Max. Yeah. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the afternoon mess. Maxie, if you were coaching the Vikings, based on what you know, and granted you don't know everything Mike Zimmer knows, but what would you do at this point?
Well,
not panic. Right?
I started trying to get, you know, just the offense. Hang on a second. Sorry.
What's in your mouth?
I had my mask
off. What was that?
I forgot to take my mask off.
Yeah, take the mask on. You're safe for now.
You forgot, right?
I'm trying to add some levity to a situation that is dire right now.
Yeah.
If you're Mike Zimmer, you go, we're a really good team, and we haven't played well. Now you say, well, how can you say that? Because you're the coach, and what they need right now is confidence. If a team's playing really well and they think they're playing really well, then a coach will bring them down, and he'll say, you guys suck. You're not nearly as good as you think. Your statistics are misleading. That's not the case right now. Right now, they feel awful about who they are as a football team, and they wonder if they can ever win a game because that's what it feels like. So the coach has to say, hey, guys, we're not far away. We're really close to getting this thing going exactly where we want to get it going. That's the way you have to approach it if you're a coach. And it's, you know, some people may say that's counterintuitive, but the whole idea is to get your team to a point where they feel good about themselves going into a game, and there's no way the Vikings can feel good about themselves going into a game. The problem is when you get in the first quarter, if you have a couple of breakdowns like they did yesterday, particularly the pass rush, Kirk Cousins doesn't have a lot of time. Offensive line is, again, questioned, not just because Pat Elflein's out, but in general. You've got some real problems that you got to figure out X and O-wise, but you've got to get these guys to believe that the system in place is a good one and that if you just are where you're supposed to be, good things will happen. And that's really hard to do when you're looking at the film and you just don't see the results.
Oof.
Mike, there is some good news, some good sports news, and we're sort of over the Vikings now. We need to heal.
Yeah.
Minnesota High School volleyball and football are back. Is this parent pressure? Is this student pressure? Is it board pressure because they see others, school districts doing it? Yeah. Why did this happen?
It's everything. I just came from Minneapolis Washburn High School. I was out at their practice this afternoon to see how they were interpreting this, and obviously they're happy. And the player, they're already allowed 12 practices, so most like football teams are practicing right now. Because they thought they were practicing for the spring. Now it's going to be for the fall. So they've got a head start there and an advantage. But, you know, you take a look at the city of Minneapolis, for example. Distant learning. The schools are shut down. So the only time these kids even see each other right now is at football practice. So that's part of it. And they're taking temperatures, and they haven't had one case of COVID-19 there. So that's part of it, the social problem. And specific to Minneapolis, what I'm hearing from the conference is it's so nice for us to have something good to focus on after what we went through this summer. But now that's just one small fragment of the whole thing. But they kept on asking, if we can go watch a high school football game in Iowa and starting this week in Wisconsin, why can't we play? That was part of it. The Big Ten went back. The NFL's been back. Now, the difference is... I just was talking to Eric Martins, the executive director for the Minnesota State High School League. I was just on the phone with him, and he said the big difference is they have testing methodology that they can afford that we can't. So we have to be incredibly careful. But we are playing outside. There's not going to be big crowds. We've learned what it means to social distance, to wear masks and all those things. So they're pretty confident coming in. And then they had a doctor meet with the 20 board members that voted on it this morning that went over the pros and cons and everything in between, took all questions. And at the end of that, they got to a point. And then on top of it, the surveys came back from the member schools. And I'm told that it was about 80% to 90% in favor of coming back and playing football and volleyball. So all those things mean that the schools, too, are taking responsibility for this. But I do think there's a confidence based on what they've seen in other places that they can do this. The other sports in the state of Minnesota that are playing, swimming, cross country, all those things, tennis, they're getting along just fine.
Mike Max. Thank you, Mikey. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for cheering us up.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Whoops,
I did it again.
Put it over your nose, too, okay, would you? By the way, the Twins are off today, Jordana. 5 more games left in the season. How did that happen? And they clinched. Yes.
When we get back, a tribute to RBG. Next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.